back to the word, number 1B.
God says, sorry, fellas, you can call it anything you want to, but in my system, and I got here first, I call it a bird. And that closes the issue for me. Hallelujah. I mean, anybody can come along after the Bible is written and make a classification system different and say, see, God doesn't agree with our classification system. That is a meaningless argument. Now then, turn with me in your Bible to Ezekiel 26. Praise the Lord. Ezekiel 26. I want you to know that much of this prophecy I'm going to read to you was fulfilled by Nebuchadnezzar. Let me show you, if I can here. I've never used one of these things, so maybe I can do this. Ha ha. See what all that science did for me? No practical sense whatsoever. This is the Nile River Delta. Here's Alexandria, Egypt. Here is the Sinai Peninsula with the Red Sea right here. Gulf of Aqaba, Dead Sea, River Jordan, Sea of Galilee, and right about here was located, how does that look? Terrible. Well, let's see if we can focus this. Duncan, will that thing focus? Duncan has said it will focus. It must focus. I'm running out, Duncan. All right, that's good enough. Right here was a Phoenician city called Tyre, T-Y-R-E. The Phoenicians were tremendous seafarers. They went all over the Mediterranean Sea here. And there was a unique thing about Tyre. There was an island 600 yards offshore. Now, women, that's 6 football fields long. I know your husband drug you to a football game somewhere in your life. Every time they were in trouble, they ran out to their island. They had a wall built around the city, and they had a wall built around the island, okay? If they ever got under besiegement and got in trouble, they fled to the island, and they had a 600-yard moat that protected them. Now, much of this prophecy in Ezekiel 26 is talking about what happened when Nebuchadnezzar came against them. Nebuchadnezzar came against Tyre, besieged the city for 13 years with the greatest army of all time until that moment. The people fled to the island. They finally surrendered, but not because they were defeated. They just kind of got starved out. But Nebuchadnezzar never really conquered this island. But there's some of these verses that were not fulfilled by Nebuchadnezzar. I want to read those to you and then tell you what happened. There's a good reason for this. It says in verse 4, they shall destroy the walls of Tyre, break down her towers. I will scrape her dust from her, make her bare like the top of a rock. Her island in the midst of the sea shall become a place for the spreading of nets. I have spoken it, says the Lord God, and she shall become a spoil and a prey to the nations. Look at verse 9. And he shall set his war engines in shock against your walls. Verse 12, your adversaries shall make a spoil of your riches, make booty of your merchandise. They shall break down your walls and destroy your pleasant houses. They shall lay the stones and the timber and the very dust from your demolished city out in the midst of the water. What an odd thing to do. Verse 14, and I will make you, Tyre, a bare rock. You shall be a place upon which to spread nets. You shall never be rebuilt, says the Lord your God. All right, let's see what actually happened. Beloved, in the year 332 B.C., from the north, a Grecian warlord came down from Macedonia named Alexander the Great. They heard he was coming. They knew all about that Grecian warlord, and they fled to the island. He got there. He tore the wall down. He tore down every single house, and he began to throw the bricks and the timber into the sea. What an odd thing to do. And then his men began to scrape up the dust and dirt and throw it into the sea. And they built a 600-yard-long, 200-foot-wide causeway out to that island. At the same time they were building that causeway, Alexander's men built some devices like this that were towers with wheels on them that were 165 feet high, the largest that have ever been built in warfare. And they had a little place where the men could walk up inside like a Trojan horse, and there was a drawbridge on this side that could let down so that they shoved it down this causeway they built against the walls. Verse 9. I will have them lay the war engines in shock against your walls. And then the men came running over. Nebuchadnezzar could not wipe them out in 13 years. From the time Alexander got there until the island was completely wiped out was 7 months. So what? People say the Bible's just got some pretty stories. It's not really true. Go home and read your encyclopedia. That exact story is in your encyclopedia. So when you have someone you're trying to show true stories from the Bible, show them that and then go look it up in your encyclopedia so you can check it out. Now, I know this is an anointed story. I taught that one time, and one of my friends went out to California and was in a car with his boss and told him the story. His boss wheeled off the freeway, says, I'm going to check you out, drove right back to his home and picked up his encyclopedia with my friend standing there and started turning T, T, T for tire. And when he found tire, guess what he saw? A picture of the nets drying in the sun, just like the prophecy said. Now, the city on the mainland, Old Tyre, has never been rebuilt. There's a little fishing village at the end of this island named Sur, S-U-R. Some of the wall, see, the island has sunk into the Mediterranean Sea. If you were in a boat, the water is very clear, and you can still see part of the old wall on the south end. Guess what they... And the causeway, it's still there. It's much wider now because of wave action from the ocean. Guess what they use the causeway and the old town site for today? For the fishermen to let their nets dry in the sun. Praise God. Praise God. Well, there's one story that they will have to admit corresponds with what's in the Scripture. Case one. I'm not trying to prove the Bible. You can't. You accept it by faith or you reject it. I'm trying to strengthen your faith so that you can witness with power. Now then, beloved, this one will blow your minds. Turn to the beginning. Genesis chapter 5. Incidentally, for tomorrow night, we're going to study Genesis chapter 1, the creation of the universe by God according to God. It's going to be rather interesting. I can't wait. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22. It says, Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Now, all of you know who Enoch is. Enoch, you remember, is the guy that didn't die. He was raptured. Enoch, according to the Bible, was a prophet. How do I know he was a prophet? Jude chapter 4, verse 14 says he was a prophet. But I know that Enoch was a prophet another way. Enoch named his son, we just read, Methu, M-E-T-H-U, great, Selah. So what? He was a prophet, and he named him Methuselah. If you look this up in... Now, if you look it up in any Bible dictionary I've ever seen, you'll get the wrong answer. I don't know why. They looked up M-A-T-H-U in the Hebrew. But if you go to any fundamental Bible commentary or know a little Hebrew yourself and look it up, you'll find out that Methu means he dies. Selah. It shall happen. H-A-P-P-E-N. Or I could equally translate it, it shall be sent. What? The flood. Judgment. Now you watch this. Let me do something here. Let me take the liberty of making more sense out of this for you, putting in parentheses here like the Amplified to make it in modern English. When he dies, it shall happen. In other words, Enoch, a prophet, named his boy Methuselah as a living prophecy. He said, watch that boy. Watch him. Everywhere he goes. When he dies, God's tired of fooling with y'all. He's going to send judgment. Now, that's pretty wild. But that's what he named him, and that's what his name means. Let's check God out. Let's just see if God did that, okay? Let's check him out. I want to tell you something. God is unafraid of us putting a sharp pencil to his word. Hallelujah. Look at verse 25. Methuselah lived 187 years and had a boy named Lamech. We better write that down. That looks... Had a son named Lamech, and says when he was 187 years old. We better write that down. And look down here at verse 27. It says, the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. We better write that over here. Methuselah died when he was 969 years old. And verse 28. Verse 28. Lamech lived 182 years, and he had a son, and his name was Noah. Well, we better write that down. Now let's see if I've got this straight. Methuselah lived 187 years and had a son named Lamech. Lamech lived 182 years and had a son named Noah. Chapter 7, verse 6. When Noah was 600 years old, the flood came. Well, let's write that down. Here's Noah, and when he was 600 years old, the flood came. Now, remember I told you how much math I had and all that back? You know, well, you're lucky. See, the Lord specially prepared me with all that math so that I could help you here with this difficult problem we have before us. Praise His name. Let's see. Now, the prophecy says, if God's right, when Methuselah dies, it should happen, the flood. 7 and 2 is 9, 8 and 8 is 16, 1 to carry. 6 and 1 are 7, 8, 9. Praise the Lord God. It happened. Now, the flood didn't kill him. It was when he died the flood would come. The people had to have a chance to see and repent. For the Scriptures tell us in Amos chapter 3, verse 7, God never brings judgment till first He sends prophets to warn the people. And also, you'll recall, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it said that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he preached for 120 years, and he only had 7 converts. Now, that's not bad preaching. That's the hardness of human heart. All right, one more. Hallelujah. You said, okay, Floyd, but were those real years? You know, come on now, Floyd. Really? Were those real years that those people lived? You know, when I was in a Bible, I went to a Baptist college. Used to listen to the preachers and the professors argue. All you got to do is add. Let's find out. Did you know the Word of God shows us where we can tell? Turn to Genesis 7. This is so easy it hurts. Look at this. It says here, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same were the fountains of the deep broken up. We better write that down. That sounds important to me. It says, in the second month, brother, 17th day. Let me try another one. That's kind of not taking. So I'll just whip another one out, hopefully. Second month, 17th day. The flood came. Interesting. Well, it looks to me that if I read chapter 8, verse 3 and 4, let's start with verse 4. It says, the ark rested in the 7th month, 17th day of the month, on Mount Ararat. Did you get that? 7th month, 17th day, it rested on Mount Ararat. 7th month, 17th day. Now, Mount Ararat is a volcano. It's 17,000 feet high today. I have no idea how high it was then, nor is there any way scientifically to find out. It is now a dead volcano, but it was definitely not dead then. We know that scientifically. I don't care how high it was, it got covered then. However high it was, God covered it. So, higher mathematics, that looks like 5 months exactly to me. Now, we know then that the flood, from the time it started and until the ark rested, was 5 months. If only we knew how long a month was in those days. Verse 3. The waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. Oh! And the ark rested in the 7th month on the 17th day. I've got it. He says that's 150 days. He says the same thing in chapter 7, verse 24. You might notice just a few verses above. 150 days. Okay, higher mathematics. How many days in a month? 5 into 150. Note how difficult this is. And all these Bible teachers and all these theologians just sat there and argued. 3 times 5 is 15. Bring down my zero. Look at this. Mother would be so proud. 30 days per month. Okay? Now then, the next question should come. Okay, Floyd, but how many months did they use in a year? Now listen. You've been told and heard that every time the Nile River flooded, that was a new year. Or every time the king sneezed of Babylon, that was a new year. Because these guys wanted to have a good, you know, Mardi Gras New Year celebration and all that. Yes, for the Egyptians. Yes, for the Babylonians, but not for God's people. God's people always were on this kind of schedule. The Jews always used the moon and still do for their calendar. You may not have realized this, but from now on, now that I tell you this, notice as you read the Old Testament, they use the new moon. All their feasts are regulated by the new moon. They still do it today. Their month was regulated by the new moon. Now, I took astronomy. I was not an expert at it. I didn't have much of it. But I knew how to use these big books that we called ephemerises, and I used the big telescope and all that stuff. And let me tell you, it is simple to go back and check for thousands of years back when there were new moons. There's nothing to it. It is a very simple, elementary calculation. There have been 12 new moons a year since we can go back in science. 12 per year. Now, the Bible bears this out. If you look at Genesis 1, 14, it says God put the moon and the sun there for us to use for seasons. Okay? In other words, so we could tell time. But also turn real quickly with me to Psalms 104, verse 19. I want to show you that the Jews really do use the moon. Psalms 104, verse 19. He appointed the moon for seasons. Hallelujah. And so the Jews have always regulated their calendar by the new moon. Now, for your benefit, you might look these scriptures up. 2 Chronicles 2:4 talks about the Jews using the new moon, but the beautiful one is in 1 Chronicles 27. David says, look, I want captains for every month, and we're going to rotate. I want a captain and so many men for each month. And he appoints a man. He says, you name a captain for every month. And guess how many captains he named? 12. Because there's 12 new moons. So my point is, beloved, there's always been 12 new moons, and 12 times 30, because there's 30 days to the month, 12 months, 12 new moons to the year. The Jews have always used a 360-day year. Now, we call that the year of prophecy, or the year of the Bible. Every prophecy in the Bible is geared to a 360-day year. In other words, if you don't make the rapture, and you see Antichrist sign that peace treaty allowing the Jews to rebuild the temple that Daniel chapter 9 verse 27 talks about, don't multiply 7 times 365 and a fourth to see when Jesus is coming. Multiply 7 times 360. But Jesus has already told you that no man can know the day nor the hour. Therefore, none of you can possibly be here when that happens, one way or the other. You see, if you were here when that temple, when the peace treaty is signed, you would be able to calculate to the very day now when Jesus is coming. 7 times 360. So either you're going to be raptured or die before that temple is built. Now, beloved, I want to say this. You say, Floyd, is that the only place? No, and I'm going to just show you this. If you read Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 7, which is in the middle of the Bible, Revelations 11, Revelations 12, and Revelations 13, here's what you'll see. There, it talks about a period of persecution of the Jews, which is 3.5 years. Another place it calls it 42 months. And another place it calls it 1,260 days. If you divide 3.5 into 42 to find out how many months are in a year, you'll get exactly 12. In other words, 3.5 into 42 is exactly 12. If you want to know how many days are in a year in this period of persecution, divide 3.5 into 1260, and you'll get precisely 360. If you want to know how many days are in a month, then divide 42 into 1260, and you will get precisely 30. In other words, it's in the first book of the Bible. Daniel is about in the middle of the Bible. Revelations is in the last of the Bible. It's at the first of the Bible, the middle of the Bible, the last of the Bible. He really is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, someone in here is about to ask me now, Floyd, why not 365 and a fourth? Right? That's bugging you. In other words, what am I saying? I am saying that Methuselah lived 969 years of 360 days. So what if it was... that would make him about 954 of your years. You know, that's still pretty long. And we're going to live that long again. Not me. I'm going to have my new body. But the flesh and blood people in the millennium are going to live like that too. 800,000 to 900,000 years, just like it was at the beginning. No carnivores, just like it was at the beginning. The lion and the lamb will lie down together. Now, you see, a lunar year, there's a new moon every 29.5 days. A lunar year, 12 times 29.5 is 354. A solar year, the time for us to go around the sun, of course, is 365 1/4. Add those two together and divide by two, and you get 360. Isn't it interesting that we now are on a 365-day year, and Enoch was raptured in the 365th year of his life? In other words, I would just make a sanctified guess. I'll bet you before Enoch was raptured that we were in an orbit around the sun of 360 days. And that when the flood came, we changed orbit enough to make up 5 1/4 days. I'll bet you. See, nothing's perfect anymore. Nature's groaning. I'm groaning. I want my new body. You know, nature's groaning for the redemption. I think we're going to be restored to the old original orbit. I'll bet you Enoch was actually 365 1/4 years old. I just bet you God's going to tell us that when it's over. That's not going to save anybody's soul, but I'll just bet you. Now, there's so much more that I could show you. Now, you might ask, the Jews, you say, well, look, if they're on a 354-day year, a lunar year, then why doesn't their calendar drift? It does. But they have methods of adjusting it. The way they do it right now is 7 times every 19 years, they add an extra month. And that gets them right on our calendar at the end of 19 years. They used to have a beautiful method of doing it, but it would take too long. It took 8 years to get it on. Take too long to show you. Beloved, I want to keep you 10 more minutes, maybe 5. You see, the Bible is the authority. If you cannot get someone to agree with you that that's the authority, then there's no middle ground. You're talking in vain until we recognize authority. Turn very quickly to one verse, John 18:31. Let me show you how accurate the Bible is, unbelievably. John 18:31. Pilate said unto them, take ye him, Jesus, and judge him according to your law, the law of the Jews. What was the Jewish law of death? How did they put people to death? Does anyone remember? Yes, you said it. Say it louder. Stoning. Correct. They said, Pilate says, take him out and stone him according to your law. You said he was a blasphemer. Stone him. Pilate answers, the Jews answered and said, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. If Jesus Christ had been killed the year before, they would have stoned him to death. The Jewish Talmud reveals to us that the year Jesus was killed was the first year the Romans repealed the law of allowing the Jews to put people to death. And the Bible had prophesied Jesus would be crucified, Psalms 22. Galatians 3:13 says, he bore the curse for our sins on the tree and fulfilled Deuteronomy 21. If Jesus had been killed 1 year before, they would have stoned him. And the whole Bible would have been wiped out. Our God had things going just right. Hey, the Romans thought they were ruling the world. They were falling right. When they made the law that the Jews could not kill anybody, God was pulling all the strings. And so Christ would not have fulfilled Psalms 22 and all the prophecy that said he would go to the tree, to the cross. Hallelujah. That's pretty accurate. One last thing that I want to show you. This will be quick. Turn with me. I want you to see a scripture. Ezekiel 24. Let me read it to you. In the 9th year, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, the word of Jehovah came to me, Ezekiel, saying, son of man, write the name of the day, even this day, the king of Babylon has set himself against Jerusalem. In other words, he said, record for history this date. Do you know that that date is recorded 3 times in the Bible? It's recorded in Jeremiah chapter 52 and verse 4. It is recorded for us in 2 Kings 25:1. God, I caught on. The Spirit revealed it to me. He says, Floyd, 3 times I called attention to this day. What day? The 9th year of the reign of the king of Babylon, the 10th month, the 10th day. We know exactly that that was the 10th day of Tebeth in the year 589 on a Jewish calendar. Let me show you what that means. Watch this. It was the year 589 on the 10th day of Tebeth. Now turn with me quickly to Haggai. Haggai? You mean there's something good in Haggai? Turn to Haggai, chapter 1, verse 2. Now, Haggai was a prophet, and he and Zechariah were trying to encourage the people, along with Zerubbabel, who was one of Jesus' ancestors, who was the governor, and the high priest, who was Joshua. And they were trying to encourage the people to rebuild. And they had been transported to Babylon, and in Jeremiah 25, God told them, you'll be in Babylon 70 years. 70 years. Now look at verse 2. The people said, the time is not yet come for us to build the city and the temple. Why? They didn't believe the 70 years were up. But now flip over to chapter 2. Chapter 2. And look at verse 18 and 19. God says, consider now from this day and forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from this day I will bless you. And that was the 24th day on the Jewish calendar of their month, Chislu. Do you see it? God recorded the day. He says, this day. He says, Christians, mark it. It's an important day. That was the year we know these dates. That was the year 520. Now watch this. How long did Jeremiah say they would be in captivity? And you can find this same thing in Daniel chapter 9. He said 70 years. Oh my goodness, God missed it. Look, it was only 69 years. That's of your years. 589 to 520 is your years. If you take and go to a Jewish calendar and start at the ninth, at the 10th month, 10th day, in 589, and count the number of days to what Haggai says there, the 24th day of Chislu in 520, you will get exactly 25,200 days. Now, you've already been taught something. What kind of year does God use? A 360-day year. Watch this. Can you see it? Yes. 7 times 0 is 0. 7 times 6 is 42. 7 times 3 is 21. And 4 is 25. To the very day, God fulfilled that prophecy. And He recorded it for us three times, so we know to make sure we call attention to that. I'm telling you, there's more math in this Bible than you've ever thought. I didn't come here to prove the Bible. I came to strengthen your faith. Children of God, this is really the Word of God. The Koran has no mathematics in it like that. No other religion in the world except Christianity can offer prophecies that are fulfilled to the day. Trust your God. Believe His Word. No matter what the odds, trust your God. Come on and stand up with me and let's sing unto the Lord. Hallelujah.
This is Floyd Jones. I'd just like to say one brief word to my taping audience. The mathematics in that last example that I gave was dividing the 25,200 days from the dates given by 360, the number of days in the prophetic year, and it gives precisely 70. Try it for yourself. And as I said so many times in the message, the purpose was not to try and prove the Bible, but rather to increase our faith. For you see, the Scripture says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so all these examples are from the Word of God, given by God Himself, for the very purpose of increasing our faith. Praise His holy name forever. I trust that you've been blessed by this message, for it is in Jesus' mighty name that we dedicate it. Amen.
End of Back to the Word, number 1B.